Come on.
Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. A lot of people already in the chat, kind of cool, chatting away about gardening recipe books and stuff like that. So, you know, as usual, not a whole lot to do with what the show is actually about. They kind of go off on their own sometimes. But it's kind of cool. I think you're muted too. But tonight,
of course, I am.
Yeah. I figured I'd catch it before you actually said anything. All you were doing that time was laughing, so, and I couldn't hear you chuckling. So,
right.
Tonight we got a bunch of different things to talk about. We've pushed off the recession chat for about a week now, so we're going to actually go ahead and do that. But with that, there's just a whole bunch of Biden is on a roll with his. Star Wars, you know, being like the rebel or not the Rebel Alliance. What's the other one? The Imperial fleet.
See, this, man, this is where I run into the problem. Like sitting here wondering if everybody's stuck in my, like, are we already in the Matrix and you're all stuck in my like little version of reality in the Matrix?
I hope not. Cause your version of reality sucks.
I couldn't have scripted that shit. Well, I guess you could have made it even better, you know, like had it even more over the top. But the red back when those poor Marines had to stand out there, you know, like.
Yeah. It baffles me. Remember last week I was talking about how some of the things Trump did really, really bugged me about the, you know, having a military parade and all that. This is the same type of shit. This was like Adolf Biden up there, doing his thing. I was like, holy crap, we are in trouble. And it really seems like that.
The only thing it didn't have was like a crowd shouting back on like certain prompts, like, you know, so.
Yeah. Or like the beginning of 1984. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the big picture of the shithead up there. Yeah, that's crazy. So we'll talk about some of that stuff as well and just all this stuff that's going on that I say it every week, it seems like, but it looks like it's leading nowhere good with all this crap. No. So I suppose what we'll do. Oh, one thing before we get into this tonight, the after show, we are doing the conference call with everyone. So Lisa is going to join the call tonight. We did a video over at Survivalist Prepper and Misreading the River and White Rabbit had a couple comments we didn't get to or questions we didn't get to. So we're going to talk about some of that first aid stuff since we have Lisa on in the after show this week. So that should be cool. I did send out the email this week, so everyone should have gotten the email with the link to join that Zoom call. But with that, I suppose what we'll do is we'll get to this first topic that I wanted to cover. And it's basically how Biden has basically embraced the dark Brandon thing. And I, for those of you that don't know, there's a meme going around with dark Brandon with the glowing red eyes and all that. And what he did the other night, and I keep saying him, but I don't think he's got two words say in the whole situation. I think it is the administration and the Democrat Party.
Man, this one has baffled me so much just from a thing of optics, like, right? Like,
exactly. That's the key word.
My color vision sucks and I can see that that's red. Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. I look outside the world and I'm sitting out here in this field and everything's brown. Right. So like, I have shitty color vision, but I can see that that's red. So tell me, have you read anywhere? Because I've completely avoided this one. Has anybody said why?
Why it was set up the way it was, why it was where it was, like, and the Marines in
like
the background?
Why does it look like he's speaking at the gates of hell?
Yeah, it does.
You know,
And to be fair to the mainstream media, there has been pushback from them as well. Some, not a lot, but some. So, you know, kudos to them. And that just shows you how bad this really was. When your own team is talking shit.
This looks like the start of a Dinesh D'Souza film.
It does. When
like you think it looks like something they made up. It's that fucking bad.
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw this on Twitter, we did our live stream, and I got on Twitter afterwards, and I saw a picture. This one of these pictures, the one that we used for the thumbnail, basically with him looking straight up like Adolf right there. When I saw that picture, I was like, somebody's photoshopping it. I mean, it looks evil. There's no way he could have done that. And I watched a little bit. I was like, holy shit, they actually did that.
And hey, for everybody listening, because this goes out as a podcast, right? For everybody listening on the podcast, you probably know what we're talking about. It's Biden that when he just gave his speech this weekend, standing in front of with this red light shine on the Mount Doom behind him or something. And he has his Marines standing there. I mean, I feel bad for those Marines, but it's crazy. So.
Yeah. And then just the whole context of the speech. And like you said, optics, the whole context of the speech was the soul of the nation and bashing, half of the country. And I know he's come out, like this article says, he came out afterwards and backtracked because he saw the reception was so bad. And he's talking about that small militant group of people, that those people that, the ones that stormed the Capitol and all that. But if he's talking about a threat to our democracy, how can you say that in one sense and then say this small group of people? It doesn't fit.
Well, and it's interesting because they'll sit there and even the right will say, well, it's half the nation. I think it might be more than half the nation. Right. Because only about a little bit over half the nation, give or take, voted right in the election. So you're at about a third, maybe a third on each side. There's a third in the middle. And I think a huge chunk of that third that was like in the middle that didn't want to vote for either is against what this guy's doing right now and all this shit. So it could be over half the nation that dude is trying to do his best fucking son of Satan impression.
Yeah. Best. Yeah. Dictator.
And dude, I'm not the religious guy. Like I'm not the go to church guy, right? Like, so when I say that, I'm like what the fuck?
Kind of makes me laugh, but it would be that kind of a holy crap moment. But could you think, Biden being the Antichrist? Maybe somebody pulling his strings is or something. But yeah, it's all intentional too. That's what pisses me off with all of this stuff. It's absolutely intentional. It's intentional that they talk about how it's just this small group of ultra MAGA, whatever they call them. But they know that everybody who voted for Trump, everybody that has or has had a MAGA hat is part of that group. And that is, it's like in the papers. I'll say this and then you can go. It's like in the papers when they print a story and it's wrong. Yeah. So they 4 days later, they print a little retraction or whatever. Nobody sees the retraction. So nobody sees that I'm talking about this small group of people. Everybody thinks MAGA. Everybody thinks anybody who voted for Trump. Everybody thinks anybody who didn't vote for me.
You look at this, though, and if it was normal, right, he would go up there and call everybody that he doesn't like and everybody that voted for Trump assholes, right? He'd toss some shit on him. But somebody went and changed it from, like white lights lighting up the building, or like maybe a black light, some kind of nice quiet tone to like blood red.
Yeah. Well,
like somebody made that fucking decision.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like his people just showed up and like he had a bunch of colorblind people that couldn't see color. No. They all saw that shit before he went out there. So that was a conscious decision. It has to be.
Yeah, I think it was all intentional with the context of his speech being about the soul of the country, him wanting to show strength, him wanting to, talk crap about, basically bash Trump. It's all about that. Everything is about that. The January 6th stuff, everything is about that. And by the way, this is the same shit that he did that they talk shit about. And he didn't go, Trump has never gone this far. As far as the whole, it just bothers me. It would bother me if he did it, and it bothers me when Biden does it.
you know, that's up for debate. The other side can say how far they think Trump's gone. And I mean, Trump typically had like a bunch of, you know, I mean, you could disagree with them, but a bunch of people in the background who really liked him from all races. They all, you know, there's all kinds of people sitting behind Trump, all wearing their hats at a rally, shaking American flags and going, huh. And then this guy, dude, like, do they have like the Star Wars music playing behind him? Or, yeah. you know, like the Damien and Omen music going behind this guy when he's up there doing that. I mean,
yeah,
like you think he'd, the fuck?
You'd think he'd walk out with his big black helmet on. One other thing about this before we move on with the Marines, I've heard a few different things and I'm not sure what the answer is. You might. But I always thought that service members weren't supposed to be at political events. And I know it's happened a couple times in the past and all that, but I had always thought that's kind of a no-no to use the military in political speeches.
So I don't know what the protocol is for that, right? And I could say yes, but then they do stuff around the Marines all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Marines are the ones that open the door into the White House. The Marines are the one that get him up on the bird, right? That's his military protection force, man. So I don't know. I imagine there's a protocol somewhere. So I don't even know what that building was behind it. Like, all I see is fucking red and the two Marines standing out at the base of it. So was that the White House or something? I don't know.
No, that was in Pennsylvania, some historic building. I knew what it was the other day. I can't remember what it was, though. But it goes with the whole theme of taking our country back and the soul of the nation and all that crap.
And ultimately, the Marines are going to do what they're told, right? Like, you know, we want two Marines standing out there. Roger that, sir. You know, he's the commander in chief. He's like the top general. So they're going to do whatever they're told to do on that.
Yeah, but days after you talk about using AR-15s on the people, and
why do you think it wasn't like a rainbow flag color, like a rainbow color?
That wouldn't have surprised me.
I wouldn't have expected that. That wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah,
I mean, we could have been here talking about that, but hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, dude, that looks like we're Gandalf getting ready to fight the Balrog.
Yeah.
But this one has issues.
Hey, Angry Homesteader in the chat. How you doing tonight? Oh. Angry Homesteader 2 said, everyone hit the like button. Yes, great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something, so I didn't say anything.
No, seriously. This is one of the most baffled I've been by something, by looking at it with this whole deal going, like, how does that not look like the start of any dystopian movie?
Could you imagine?
Or the point where it turns sideways, you know, like all red behind him. Like, I don't know, man.
Could you imagine? Because this looks more like a Republican backdrop. They should have switched the blue and the red, but maybe that didn't look as demonic. But could you imagine the backlash and the media's heads on fire if Trump would have pulled something exactly like this? It would have been holy crap. You know, lock your children in the basement. Everything's going to hell.
Oh, I think when Biden gives one of his next speeches, maybe like his New Year's, you know, like attaboy for America, he'll have some flames dancing behind him.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa said in the chat, it was Independence Hall. That's what it was.
Oh,
so it went with the theme of, you know, I'm here for you people. I'm here. Well, this half anyway, the other half, I don't like you guys, but this half I'm here for you people. And we're going to take this, you know, it's concerning to me because when you think about the future of all this stuff and he's talking about, you know, he's calling half the country fascist. He's calling them, you know, ultra mega. He's all of this stuff dividing everybody. Mr. Uniter is dividing everybody. But when you think about heading towards some sort of totalitarian state or whatever, and you get all these people talking about how Republicans are pushing that, the last 2 weeks, that's all I've seen from this dude. And this administration is pushing that crap to like, hey, you're going to do what we say. And if you don't like it, you're in for it.
Well, you know, you have people all across society right now that are saying the same thing. Like not right now, like a month ago and before they've been saying, and up to like last week, they've been saying, take your foot off the gas, man. Both sides, take your feet off the gas. Like, stop this fucking shit. And I think you're the expectation that there anybody's going to take their foot off the gas should go out the window.
Like, yeah, this proves
because
it.
Because that is like, and you know, remember, the Republicans and Democrats are two halves to the same fucking dystopian future coin that we're having. So if this doesn't make you want to be a prepper for feeling like, hey, you know what? We may be on the outs here soon. I don't know what does, man, because it's not getting better. It's not, nothing is getting better over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, it's like we talk with the inflation stuff, you know, they're making everybody poor because it costs more. You're getting the same, basically same money, unless you've gotten a raise, Wall Street, and you're paying more for everything. So you're getting poorer by the day. They're spending crazy. And then you got this guy, this clown doing his Satan impression up there.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the fuck?
All of them just doing whatever the hell they want. And him up there telling you, you're going to take what you get and you're going to like it in, you know, not so many words. You had mentioned that though, the recession and all that stuff. And I had a couple things on that. One is we haven't talked about the student loans, our opinions on that, which goes into all the spending and all they just disregard inflation and all that altogether. It doesn't matter to them. They're still spending. They're putting their Inflation Reduction Act through the student loans thing. I'm going to get your thoughts on that. But first, I found this article talking about the Fed now. And reading this article, they're planning on launching the Fed now in 2023, I think March or something like that. And basically what the Fed now is their like payment gateway for us to be able, they frame it like it's a good thing for us, but it's a way for them to get our money a little bit easier than before. It's an easy way for us to get our refunds from the money we already paid them, and it's an easy way to give them the money they're stealing from us. So this, I think, is even though this article says that this kind of takes away the urgency of the digital coin, I don't quite understand why that is. But I think this is step one in that direction.
Yeah, they're trying to soft stroke you, dude. Right? They're still fucking you in the ass, right? That's what all this is. It's nonstop with this shit, right? Oh, this is for your own good. We're gonna make this. No, again, it's for more control. They want more control. The more they control our money, look at what happened in Canada. Look what's going on around the world, right? But hey, you know what's really cool? The more they press on that. Barter, baby. You know, all the people for years, you know, I mean, I was one of them talking shit. Oh, you and your fucking barter items, everybody. Hey, guess what? That's what this turns into, is a black market. You make it so difficult to do business. It's, hey, I'll trade you, you know, this for that, back and forth. Because that's what they want. They want to get every single ounce out of you. I mean, 87,000 new IRS agents. Yeah, who are they going to focus on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Well, so...
Yeah. Look at all of this stuff in its entirety. Right. And it's pretty damn apocalyptic when you think about it. It's pretty damn dystopian. You've got the Fed now, which is going to make it easier for them to take our money. You've got all the new IRS agents. You've got the president and the administration. And again, I hesitate to say the president because he's controlled. He probably doesn't know what's going on half the time. So it is a bunch of people behind the scenes doing all this stuff. You've got all of these things adding up. You've got inflation and them not giving a crap about it. And almost like they know, hey, this is going to get pretty bad. So we better hire some more agents. We better, make sure that we're going to be able to get our money and all that. And you're right. The whole barter thing, it may turn into something like that. But you need a buy-in from a lot of people for that to work. Oh, you're muted.
My dog was over here drinking, and he's a 94 golden retriever with a giant tongue. So when he drinks, it echoes. But when they give us when they return your money, when you get your tax return back right now, they don't have any money. So they print money to give you your tax return that is worth less. Because they printed the money to give you your tax return, which is causing inflation, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the biggest fucking bunch of bullshit smoke and mirrors crap. I was watching Breaking Point. Sagar did a thing on his own over there, a video. And he talks about how he's going back. And I think is it Thiel or somebody was talking about this. And anyways, Sagar was getting on board with it. And he goes, he thinks that the whole thing derailed in 1971. And he has a bunch of data, right? Because that's when we went off the gold standard. I think Department of Education came around, 72, all these different stuff. They started guaranteeing student loans and all that shit, which, you know, we're going to talk about. So, it's interesting. I think it goes all back to when they started manipulating the financial system. Mm-hmm. Why did they do that? So they could all get rich. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that invested in it. It's like the people that are investing in water right now. You know, they're buying water futures because eventually they're going to control the price of water. Like, you're going to literally drink. It's going to be like drinking gold.
Sorry, I'm looking up a website because you had talked about what happened in 1972, and there's an actual website. I think it's whathappenedin1972.com. That's what I'm trying to type in right here. But it talks about, or it has a bunch of, and we talked about this in the past. I can't find the, I'm not going to try to find it anymore, but we had talked about it in the past, and it goes through a whole bunch of things that happened in 1972. And you see this kind of this average, you know, up and down kind of swing with all the different things. And then in 1972, everything just freaking takes off. So,
yeah, that's the year after we got off the gold standard. Right. And what happened when they got off the gold standard? It became an agreement that they come up with formulas and they base it on guests and this and that and the stock market. And that's what our dollar's worth. It's all hocus pocus. We all just go along with it. Right. I mean, it's something that's been in the prepper circles and the conspiracy circles for years. A dollar is not worth a dollar. Right. It's paper. It's not worth anything. We all just agree that it's worth something.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming home to roost. I don't know that they can keep manipulating it anymore because they're doing everything they want. They're taking every penny they can out of us right now, and they're getting ready to. Well, what happens when they take it all out of our ass and they get every cent that's ever owed to them? And then they want more money. Because that's all this is. This is just because they've run out of fucking money. They can't even make it anymore without it causing problems. So now it's, let's go hire 87,000 new tax agents ready to kill American citizens and get every penny we can out of them. But then what?
Yeah.
Right? What happens next when they can't? That's it. They're draining everything dry. They're getting every last cent that's owed to them, and they can't control spending. So what?
Then it's like the mob, you know, the mob doesn't care how much your business is making and all that stuff. They go in and they want their cut, and you know, your bills and you're running your business is your problem. Where's our cut? And that's exactly what it's going to be like. That's what it's like now. They're just going to have to ratchet it up at some point, or everything falls apart and they have to, you know, force their will until everything gets restructured and resettled. And it, you know, maybe it is conspiracy, but it sure seems like some of those pieces are getting put in place. Those preemptive things are getting put in place for when that boot comes down.
Do you recall me saying that, like, what happens if everybody decides to just stop paying on everything? Like the entire nation.
I actually have that in the notes today. Yeah, explain that a little bit.
Yeah, which was funny because I was watching a show with Richard Brand and, he's the Clark Gable-looking young comedian, man, and Andrew Schultz. They did an episode together, and Richard Brand mentioned it in there too. So our entire society functions because we as people pay, right? Hey, I have a mortgage with this bank and I'm going to send my bank statement in every month because that's what we do. And because everybody buys into this whole system that we got to pay, even though they're running amok and doing what the fuck they do, that's causing us to have more difficulty to pay. That's why the system functions, because we all pay.
Mm-hmm.
The people that don't, they can come and take your house. Well, can they take everybody's houses? Can they take everybody's shit on credit cards? Everybody says, fuck you on your credit cards. Fuck you on your student loans. Fuck you on everything. Only thing people buy is groceries, maybe. Pay for that. Pay for the things like you actually go. Our society would come to a screeching halt. Like, at least at the government level and at the corporate level, they rely on us sending them money. It's how it all works. If we say, fuck you, we're not giving your money. Think about what happened. How did the original America come about? It was a fuck you over taxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying to go do that. Don't go get yourself in trouble and shit, but they're pissing off so many people, and so many people are getting to the point where it's like, I burned through my savings. I mean, you know, you see people in their 70s and 80s back in the workforce right now. I see it at the stores.
Yeah.
Right. So at some point where it's like, where people are just going like, I can't, like, how much time do you have to invest in trying to catch up with all the fuckery that they're pulling on you? I see eventually people just saying, fuck it, and sitting down saying, we're not playing your game anymore. We're done.
That would be freaking fantastic. The problem with that, though, is I don't think there's enough people that would do that, because there's not enough people that would step outside of their comfort zone and say, enough of this bullshit. But it wouldn't take, just like. Yeah.
Are you all right over there?
Yeah.
you need a Heimlich maneuver?
Something. It's like I swallowed a fly or something. But there wasn't a whole lot. It wasn't like everybody during the revolution was against the king.
No.
But there were enough that were, that it made a difference. Now, those were the original ultra mega, right?
Well, I think if the economy were to really take a steep nosedive, and where you have a big section of society. I mean, I think the Great Depression, we had like 10% unemployment. You run into the 20 to 30% unemployment where people are losing everything and there's nothing they can do about it. And they've done everything they can. They've done the best they can, right? Leaned into it, extra jobs. And it's just inflation. Things go so bad. How many of those people are going to finally just say, you know what? Tapping out. I'm done.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and if you get enough of them, well, that's where the thing comes in. So, but I've heard that talked about more and more internationally all over the world in the last couple of weeks, man. So it's interesting to see what happened. And I think they call it like, they also have like what they call a general strike where everybody just stops working. Like, nope. Maybe pay your bills, but I don't think anybody has any money left to pay their bills, but everybody just stops working. Kind of like they forced everybody to stop, but then this time it's everybody says, we're done, play your game. It's called a general strike where huge swaths of society just shut down. The problem is you kind of fuck ourselves in the process, right? You know, all the trash, I don't know what the fuck they're called. Sanitation engineers, garbage men, trash people, whatever, refuge removers. But they all sit down. Well, then we all got fucking piles of trash. So, you know, it's like, how do you make that happen?
Yeah, yeah. Hell, I would be happy just with people standing up against all these yahoos that feel like they can do whatever they want because they can and they have forever, and just say enough's enough with this BS, with all of the stupid crap. And that kind of goes into the student loans that I wanted to talk about. It's the same type of shit, because it is, you know, you talked about people having to go back into the worst workforce. I saw something that the presidential Twitter account put out. I guarantee it wasn't Joe Biden. It says his name on it, but he's talking about, we're 51 years old, and thanks to Joe Biden's $10,000 debt relief or whatever, we can afford to buy our house now. And I was like, that is complete propaganda and 100% BS. Because if you're 51 and $10,000 is the difference between you buying a house or not, you made some really poor decisions. But... my point with all of this stuff is you talk about, and it gets portrayed as, hey, I'm helping out the little guy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. This does nothing for those people that have to go to Walmart and get a job, get, you know, go out of retirement and get a job because inflation and all of that stuff. I'll let you respond to that. And then the second part of this I want to go talk about is how the, in typical government fashion, they created a problem, jacked up the school system, and now they do this stuff, and everybody acts like they're the savior or something. But I don't know. Go where you want with that.
On their side, they say he didn't do enough. So they're a lot on their side are not happy with this. And I think it comes back down to like, well, what about the fucking dude who, you know, and people who went to fucking work in the factory, who went to the mall and got a job and, you know, did other stuff and didn't go to college because they're like, hey, I don't want to take, I finally got my college degree squared away in my 40s because I didn't want to take on the debt of a college loan. Like, everybody knew, they've known for years that it was like a trap. You know, and hey, man, why the fuck I get pissed when we don't have our finances squared away and we're making up money. Everyone that just got their loan paid off got put further into a recession because of it.
Yeah.
Like if we had money and we're like, hey, man, we got, you know, Fort Knox. It's like got too much gold. We got to get rid of it. Pay off student loans. I don't give a shit. You know, go, hey, everybody, we're going to give everybody a business loan. You want it? Here's a free $10,000 business loan, whatever the fuck it is. If we had the money, I probably wouldn't give a shit. You know, I think that for our society to be a really great society and to, like, you know, do great things, not like NASA's doing right now, that, you know, they went to space in the late 60s and early 70s. And now they can't get fucking back off the launch pad again. but, you know, like, I don't know, man. I think we could do a lot better than what we got going on with that.
Yeah, well, you know, with me,
everybody should have an education. Like, I have no problem giving everybody a college. Like, at least down at the community college level. Like, why can't you go to community college for free? Get two extra fucking years of school, become a little bit smarter, and then figure it out. The problem is the institutions, the educational institutions with government backed loans, have made it so people go into crazy debt to do that. They don't want to stop that. What's the one debt you can't get rid of? Student debt. Can't get rid of that. Yeah. Unless Joe Biden gives you 10 grand, you know, little tick.
Well, and that's my whole problem with it, because with us, that's the only way that two of our kids were going to get put through school. So it was you have to do it, because it's not for everybody, but Lisa's two kids, it absolutely was for them. And we knew that. So it was, you know, as she anyway, I'm saying us, but she was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that done. But the problem I have with all this bullshit is that 30, 40 years ago, the prices were actually, you know, they were actual price, you know, the prices you would expect to pay. Since the government got involved, they jacked shit up so bad and it made everything just skyrocket to the point where, yes, we'll give you free money and it's going to cost you four times as much as it would before.
Yeah, because the universities can raise the rates because they're government back loans, right? So the universities can just, hey, oh, there's some more. They're guaranteeing a higher loan, raise the rates.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to say in that piece that Sagar did talking about 1971, that in 71, I think Harvard was like $2,600.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all gone crazy since then. And again, you know, more what have we always, you know, screamed about? Government overreach, big government and all that stuff. And I think that really all took off in the early 70s.
Yeah. So like for us, it's the same thing as those stupid ass stimulus checks. Yeah, if they're giving it, I'm going to take it. You know, it'd be dumb not to, you know, just stand on my principles. I'm not going to take it. But at the same time, I just can't believe that we allow the government to do all this stuff. And then we talk about universal health care and all that. And we want the government to get involved with that. And if they did shit right, it would be fantastic. If they had some sort of stipulations in place where universities couldn't jack their tuitions up four times the price they should be, it would be fantastic. But they don't, because they all get rich off this shit. They all make money off of it. They all get reelected because of it.
That's how the establishment bought off academia.
Yeah.
They own academia because they gave them all the money. They guarantee the loans. Right. Yeah. You know, again, and I wouldn't have a problem with government run healthcare in some ways if the government did things well. Like, you know, if we're going to invest American money into this stuff because we have no choice, then fuck it. Do it right. But they don't do it right, because what happens, right? You get the lowest common denominator. You're typically working for the government a lot of times. Right. Yeah. There's not a lot of the government doesn't provide a lot of incentive to people. The government doesn't provide a lot of requirements, because when the government can't do it, it hires out to corporations. That's what the whole DC Beltway thing is. Right. We can't get that done. Let's hire somebody to do it. Right. So the people at the government that do a lot of this shit, they just kind of monitor what's going on. They don't really do a lot of shit. And then they do it half assed. We talked about, you know, like what is the federal government known? Known for doing stuff great? No. Right.
Well, I think that
other than infringing upon your rights, I mean, they're pretty good at that.
Yeah. I think the main reason they can say it was to help people out with student loans and all that. I guarantee you the main reason they got into the loan program and all that is to make money from it. And then they see that these universities are raising their prices, and they see that their loans are getting bigger and they're making more money off the crap. What incentive do they have to stop that crap? That's the whole problem with it. And if they got lobbyists and activists and all these different special interest groups and all that, get their hands in there. But healthcare becomes the secondary issue, not the main issue.
Well, Joe Biden was one of the most senior senators in the Senate. He's been there for 50 years, 40 something years. Right. Did they ever do anything to address it? No. Oh, here, everybody, here's $10,000. Get you further, get you a deeper recession, make some of you happy. And who really is making the money? The schools. They're getting the money. They're acting like they're bailing out these students that got the law. It's to the schools.
Yeah.
That's who gets paid.
Yeah. And then to your first point, it's the people, that the guys that are out welding, the auto mechanics, all those people that didn't go to school that are now paying for that crap. That because it's forgiven to the person who borrowed it, but it's not forgiven, you know, entirely. It's not like it just disappears. Somebody's paying for that, and that's all of us.
Oh yeah,
we're paying for
it. And there's some kid now has like a PhD in how like fucking Japanese, you know, underwater sea snails fuck, right? Yeah. So and like, okay, let's just pay it off, because like, what's that dude doing? Like working at a store somewhere. Yeah, because no one really gives a shit else. There's snails fuck. Like literally those kind of degrees and stuff that people are getting.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what we've turned that into. It's like we've turned in, like, of course you have to have that.
Well, and that was part of the problem, because once, you know, the government really got their hands into all this stuff, then all of a sudden that's all you heard for like a decade and a half was, oh, you have to go to college. You have to go to college. Everybody needs to go to college. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. It is just not true. Like I said, two of our kids absolutely were made for college. The other three, not so much. One of them was kind of in the middle, and he tried. And, well, hey, you know, I'm just being honest. That doesn't mean they're stupid, though. It just means the whole, like Lisa's son.
Thanks for bringing that one back around. Thanks for bringing that, because that's kind of what it sounded like you were saying.
Perfect example. Lisa's son decided to he's a mechanic. And he went to a mechanic school, and he ended up quitting after less than a semester, because he's like, I know all the crap they're teaching. The only reason I'm going here is to get this little piece of paper that tells me that I know what I'm talking about. He ended up quitting, which Lisa was on the hook for that tuition as well. But he ended up quitting. He makes really good money now doing what he's doing. So it's not completely necessary.
No.
Just because they're not good for, or they're not made for college, doesn't mean they're all stupid. My daughter, EMT, you know, so she's doing well. So,
yeah, no, it's part of their gimmick, right? They're getting you to go to give their friends money, right? They're motivating everybody to do that. It's a total Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to college and get indoctrinated and take some liberal arts class or something like that. Be $40,000 in debt, and then I'm gonna bitch to Joe Biden about forgiving my student loan debt. Yeah, that's typical American right there. That's first world problem.
But the schools are getting the money, so then they look back at Joe Biden. Yeah, go do that again. Do that again. And the schools teach all their little students that, oh, those loans are so terrible. You're getting oppressed by your loans. Get a bigger loan and give us more money. Yeah, it's a mess, man.
Student loans are white supremacy.
it's almost as if some guy that would stand in front of the gates of hell would say something about that.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Yeah, I'm a nice guy. Speaking of the whole the student loans are white supremacy crap, and I'll just touch on this real quick, and then we'll get to the recession thing. But you see that the Black Lives Matter dude is actually getting sued for $20 million that basically, I don't know if he embezzled what he did, but then his response was that the person suing him is using a white institution. So he basically made it, you're suing me because you're a white supremacist. I was like, probably a black person suing him.
Well, but you think about it, because I think the biggest donor to all that was like white suburbia. You know, so he's just going back and using what worked to make the money flow in the first place. I mean,
yeah, they got Ann Coulter. I can't remember what her name is, but she moved to Canada. She's got a couple mansions. She made off like crazy. You got this dude that, he's banking. Business is good in the Marxism industry.
Heaven help you if back in the day in the summer in Riot Palooza, the summer of riots, when if you would say anything bad about the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get shut down, censored. Oh, you can't say anything bad about them.
It's that way today too, because you, even with these stories, you don't hear it in the mainstream media. They don't really talk about it because they've talked about everything is racist for so long that if they say anything about this, if they say anything about the border, they can't, because then they look like hypocrites, and the people that they've been pandering to all this time are going to be like, oh, you're racist. Black Lives Matter. You can't believe you said something bad about Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. So they can't. So nothing gets said about it. That's why Biden and this administration can't do a damn thing about the border, because if they do anything, they've been calling people racist for so long that if they do anything, they're going to look like racist. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know, man.
Any rate, let's get on to this. I did want to talk about this a little bit. I've had this article for a few days, actually like a week or so. So it's a little bit old, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because I just don't know with all this crap anymore. This article from Bloomberg talks about how the recession is going to be long, moderate, and painful. It's possible that it could. In recent weeks, you've heard all the talk about how things are getting gradually going to get better. They are getting a little bit better, and then they're going to gradually get better. Then you hear the other side of the story where it reminds me of the stuff I've read about the Great Depression, where there was a whole lot of talk on both sides of the aisle, and you really just don't know what to expect until it freaking happens. And that is, politics in a nutshell, basically.
Well, I know people don't like Jerome Powell, and Jerome Powell has been pretty good so far about saying, hey, we're fucked. And he just came out like last week and said, and he's trying to say it in his, soften it up a little bit. And he's like, expect the job market to soften through the end of the year. Softening the job market means we're going to be losing jobs. Right. So, and then they're talking, and he's talking about raising interest rates three more times. So if they're talking about three more times, they're talking about jobs going away. I don't think that the economy is going to probably get any better anytime soon. I mean, I was just walking around the store before we got on the show, and more holes in the shelves, less and less. Like, you go by the candle section, there's less candles. You know, some things in the food aisles are out. I don't know, man. I mean, maybe the mainstream media is saying that it's going to get better is all telling us the truth.
And see, that's what drives me crazy with all this crap, because you really don't know what's behind. I wish they would just knock off the bullshit and just start saying the truth.
So I look at people that have track records of getting shit right. Like Michael Burry, the guy from The Big Short. If you haven't watched The Big Short, watch The Big Short. Kurosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad guy. He usually Robert does Kiyosaki. Pretty good. Yeah. And so I look at people like that, right? And see what they're saying. And they're all saying, like, we're fucked. So yeah. Maybe they're all wrong. I don't know. I'm not, you know, not the financial.
Well, and I'm not necessarily talking about the financial guys, because they're all going to have different opinions and they're allowed to and all that. But it's when you watch the news and they're trumpeting a line from the Democrats, or you listen to a politician and they're blowing smoke up your ass about how great everything's going. Or you watch a Republican and they're talking about how it's just, you know, it's going to be ass pain for the next 2 years or whatever. But you can't get a straight line because it's always some sort of bent, some sort of lean. So I think as preppers, we just need to assume the worst, I suppose. Assume that it's just going to get bad.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, we look at how much we're spending. I mean, look at the prices on some things that have how far they've gone up. It is bad. It's already bad. You know, it's at the normal. You know, it might get bad. No, it is bad. We're in the middle of bad. How far down bad is, you know, I don't know. But I think you should expect it to get worse, because it at best we had 1 month where maybe it's stayed the same, depending on whose definition of what you believe, right? And we'll have the new numbers coming up here, you know, I think 4 days. I think it comes out on the 8th or the 13th, like that. So here within the next week, we'll have the new recession numbers or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten better. Supply shortages haven't gotten better. Fuel price, they keep talking about, well, fuel prices have come down because people aren't driving anymore. How many people are just getting up and going tootling around, or how many people are going, you know what? I don't need to drive there.
Yeah.
I don't drive as much anymore. I used to go get in my truck and go take off and just go ride around town, Lake Michigan and stuff, check it out every day. Yeah. Not anymore. Right. And so the drop in fuel price is due to drop in demand, supply, demand, no demand, extra supply. So they're all acting like they're scoring wins. You know, and you look what Germany, what's Germany, like their fuel prices are up 1,000% for heating.
Yeah.
And we talked about that the other day. They're out chopping down wood in the forests, and it hasn't even gotten to winter yet. They're looking at having a really hard time.
Yeah. Hey, Morgan's in the chat. Morgan from Rogue Preparedness. What's going on, Morgan?
Oh, hey, Morgan.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody listening and you're not subscribed to her channel, head over to her channel and subscribe. She's got a really cool channel. She talks a lot more prepping stuff than we do. That's for sure. But yes, very cool channel. Got it. She does quite a few videos over there. She was talking about supply chain issues, and you were talking about it. I wanted to, I saw this today, and I don't know what to make of this. This is one guy at this NS Lions guy. He's sort of, I looked at a bunch of his other articles, sort of libertarian leaning type dude. But this says, let me get it in full screen so everybody can see the stuff. Actually, let me expand this a little bit. But this says, China is obsessed with food security. You might not realize how obsessed. Stockpiling rapidly, by the end of the year, China, with its 20% of the world population, is projected to have accumulated and stashed away 65% of the world's corn and 53% of the world's wheat. So with me, my thing with all of this is, one, what does China know that the rest of the world is like not paying attention to or doesn't know? Or why does it, and the other side of this is, as much as I hate China, why is it they always seem to be doing the shit that makes sense? And we as Americans are worried about gender identity and all that.
Well,
crap.
I mean, dude, I mean, come on. China's the same group of people that are like screwing people into their door, in their apartments. And let's, you know, rein in the like China's doing shit that makes sense kind of stuff. And I'm this.
No, that's why I said, I hate to say it, but some things.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you look in our country, who is preparing for problems? The elite, the ruling, the oligarchy, right? The politicians, the Wall Street, all the people who got all the PPP loans and all that bullshit. They're all getting ready. China's getting there. They're getting ready. I think we're the only people, you know, the people of the free world are the ones that are like, oh, no, everything's fine, because they're telling us everything's fine.
Yeah.
Right. No, no, no. It's getting better. That's what you're just talking about. No, everything's going to get better. When? What? Show me. No.
Yeah. I think I didn't want to make it seem like China's got it going on or anything, because they do some heinous shit. But with some of the things they do, it seems like why isn't the rest of the world doing that? And I know there's a huge possibility that there are going to be food shortages, and it goes beyond everything that's going on in Ukraine and all that. But I don't think it's going to affect other countries, I think, way before it even reaches our shores. But that doesn't mean, just because it's not going to have the impact here that it does in someplace in Africa or something, doesn't mean it's not going to have an impact. So when you talk about empty shelves and you talk about shortages and all of that, and the inflation on top of it, you know, it could be pretty rough. I mean, it just makes sense to start doing that stuff now. And I've been doing it for like 6 months now, just trying to, anytime I find deals, trying to get stuff, filling up this freezer down here that I got, trying to get all this stuff in advance, just in case it doesn't get bad. Like I said about with the gas prices and all that, when I bought gas, I bought 25 gallons of gas because I expected the prices to go up to like $5 a gallon. Never went that far. And it's actually cheaper now than when I bought it. And it's still outrageous. But it's that type of thing that I'm talking about. You know, do that preemptive stuff that you can to kind of sidestep that stuff. And if it turns out okay, if it turns out that we're all full of crap, or we're all, you know, sky is falling type thing, then at least we've got a freezer full of meat. We've got a bunch of canned food. We've got all this stuff that we don't have to spend that money when our electric bills are sky high and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to get better or not, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if it got worse, and with the shortages and the inflation and all that stuff.
If you look, if you say, hey, you know, where are we on the whole spectrum of getting, like, have we gotten any better? Has it improved? What's improved? Gas prices, because we stopped driving. But other than that, what's really improved? We got our president doing his best, you know, Dawn of the Dead impressions sitting up there in front of us. We had, you know, all the crazy shit that's going on in the world, the ongoing inflation, people hurting financially, and just one thing after another. What's gotten better? So if you look at the trajectory, I don't think anything's gotten better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we say, you know, it hasn't stopped getting worse. So what's that trajectory look like and how far does it keep getting worse?
Well, when you turn shit up to, you know, like when it's 110 degrees out, it's really freaking hot. So then when it gets back down to 90, it's still hot, but it feels great when it gets back down to 90. That's what they basically done with this. Everything got so big, and that's my concern with this long, moderate, and painful thing. Everything, the longer it goes, the more people are going to get used to it. Kind of like a swimming pool, right? You dip your feet in. The longer this goes, the more people get used to it. And then eventually it just becomes like, you know, like in the 30s when a loaf of bread was 30 cents or whatever. And now we're just used to it being $3 a loaf. A year from now, what are we going to be used to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the 70s, right? The 70s were very similar to what was going on in the 70s in a lot of ways. Right. So the 70s, where people watched what they spent their money on. You know, it was, I definitely remember a difference between the 70s and the 80s and then the 90s, right? Somewhere there in the 80s, it turned, you know, went all Miami Vice. All of a sudden people started making money and all kinds of stuff. But I think before that it was, you know, I think things were kind of slow and people behaved accordingly. You know, they, like we've talked about, meatloaf was a thing, kind of thing. You know, how often do people have meatloaf anymore these days?
Yeah. You know,
probably not a lot, right? People buy chunks of meat. Like, I mean, that stuff was never like that when I was young. And it was because we were in a similar kind of situation. I think if it gets worse, you'll see people do the same thing. You know, they'll get more resourceful. I mean, we throw shit out all the time, right? People, you know, throw away food. I mean, that you always had leftovers before. So I think you might, I'm not saying it doesn't get, you know, get so bad that things get really bad, but I think you'll see people adjust.
I think Joe Biden's got a shrine to Jimmy Carter in the White House or something. I mean, those two could be brothers or went to the same political school or something.
I wouldn't shit on Jimmy Carter that bad.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's sad about that? It's only been 2 years, not even 2 years. And he's putting Jimmy Carter to shame.
Yeah, just wait.
It's ridiculous.
Wait till the rhetoric comes out when they start sorting out who's running for president and everything, and they start campaigning. Oh, you want to talk about a shit show coming, man.
Yeah. Hey, Morgan said, I don't think things have gotten better. It just changed focus on some areas and continue to do so. Yeah, I do too. And a lot of it is just the gaslighting crap. So when gas goes down 15 cents, that's all you're going to hear about is, oh, look what we're doing. The jobs numbers, they fail to mention how many people just don't want to work that are just not going to work. They don't talk about that. They just talk about how this can't be a recession because the job numbers are the way they are. Everything is because of coronavirus. Everything's out of whack. So you can't rely on the normal statistics or the
well, let me ask you this. You mentioned a good point. You said, you know, how many people just don't want to work? Well, how many of those people are doing what we talked about before and saying, fuck it, I'm done with this?
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, I mean, at some point when you're sitting there, when you're struggling day to day to get by, you know, you're working your ass off and then you just keep backsliding and you're like, dude, I'm doing everything humanly possible to make this happen. Like, I can't do anymore. Like, I'm got all the plates spinning. I'm doing everything I can. And because the way the government does shit, like, I imagine a lot of people just start checking out, like, fuck it, I'm done with this.
Yeah. The problem is,
you know, what's that?
The problem is a lot of people just can't afford to do that. That's just not feasible. No. Otherwise you're living under a bridge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like homeless populations aren't swelling.
Yeah, some places, if I'm going to be homeless, I'm going to California. They get treated better than the actual citizens that go to work out there.
Dude, like, people say that, but you go out to the areas where the homeless are and stuff, you know, like, because, like, they'll run you out of fucking Beverly Hills. Don't try to be homeless in Beverly Hills, you know, all the Karens running around there. You can't be homeless around them. So, the places, the homeless, it is such a... It's such a escape from LA kind of apocalyptic setting where the homeless are. I don't think you want to be around it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, there are all kinds of crazy shit happening there.
Well, and being in the homeless community isn't, you know, some sort of joyride either. It's not like they're all just, you know, sleeping all day and all that. I've heard some horror stories and seen some things about how dangerous it is in the homeless community. So, yeah. I mean, I think as preppers, there's a lot we can learn from the way that those people survive, both good and bad, as far as, you know, how that society functions when they're really, because there really aren't any rules for them. They have, whether by choice or because they have mental issues or whatever, they have chosen to check out of society. And you know, for one reason or another. So the rules, well, you know, yes, that, you know, there are laws and stuff and it does sort of apply unless you're in California, then you can piss and shit everywhere and you can do all that stuff and it doesn't matter. But, they've chosen to check out of society. So it's almost like they have their own laws, their own rules in their little homeless communities and all that. So, you know, you can learn about how they live and all that stuff, but you also, it shows the dark side of when society all falls apart too, a little bit. So,
well, it shows the dark side of a country that, you know, hey, we're the greatest thing and we're spending all this money overseas. And we have, I mean, you look, I think it's like 20,000. I'll say 20,000 just to err on the side of caution. Like, veterans go homeless on any one night. It might even be 40,000, but let's say 20,000. Like, okay. You know, we have other people that have, you know, served, yet old people who just their retirements didn't work out. Enron, all kinds of shit that are, you know, living in a shithole, living in a shitstorm because of our society. We're the greatest society ever. Greatest society ever. Go fuck yourselves.
You think about some of these military guys, and it's not just because I have, you know, that reverence for people who served in the military and all that, but You think about these people that put basically the best part of their lives, you know, 20s, 30s, whatever, gave that basically to their country, that part of your life where maybe you're going to school, you're building your career, you're doing that stuff to kind of set yourself up for your future. They give that part of their lives to their country. And then what did they get? They get a bunch of yank around, jerk around, and finally just absolutely nothing. And I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them.
No. But think about this. We still are. We're in Syria. We've been at war for 21 years. 21 fucking years we've been at war. Like, there are people who have enlisted in the military, who were born after 9/11, enlisted in the military, and already gotten out of the military.
Yeah.
Right. Like a one enlistment person. And we have all those young men and women. We get them embroiled in some illegal bullshit, unconstitutional bullshit, and we send them overseas. We get them physically and mentally banged up. And then we come back home, and because they're not useful to the military machine anymore, they give them the fucking finger. It's tragic how our nation, and you know what? The Veterans Administration does a good job. It's a monster operation, because think about how many veterans.
It's a government operation.
It's a government operation, and they have you got to imagine there are going to be people and facilities that are shit because of shit leadership at time. And by and large, I know a lot of people get good treatment from the VA, but the problem with the VA is you got to stay on top of your shit. It's a giant bureaucracy, and people that have mental issues and problems, it makes it hard.
Yeah.
And we have all these veterans that are out on the streets, and like, why the fuck is that happening? They went to war. I don't say for freedom. I don't think we did, because when we fought for freedom, maybe early Afghanistan, but they went to where our country fucking told them to go. And we turn our backs, not we, you and I, and the people watching this, but as a nation, we turn our backs on people like that. Turn our backs on all kinds of people like that, you know, that they don't have to be veterans. They do other stuff. You know, they're Americans. They've given it all. They're all for a long time. And when they hit the skids, it's the society's not about helping them. The society's about funneling money to the organizations and the companies that say they're going to help those people. But there's no money in the cure, like we always talk about. So that's the scam of it.
Yeah, that's the whole problem with everything in politics, because if a situation like that, if they truly want to do something, they get it done. If they want to help out Ukraine, they get it done. So I get the whole bureaucracy and government's big, and it's harder than we make it out to be because of all the different things that go on. But at the same time, if they wanted something, if they thought something was urgent enough, they'd get it done. And they just don't, because it falls off their, just like the burn pits thing. You know, you hear a little bit about that for a couple weeks, and then, you know, how long did that take to get figured out? Because it gets talked about when it's convenient, and then it falls off the burner, and nobody talks about it.
No, because the whole thing of it is if all the people, like if you have a big chunk of people that get sick from that die before they go back and they start doing anything about it, and there's no proof that it was a burn pit, then they never have to pay out. It's literally an insurance game. It's the government saving money by fighting it. They knew what the fuck it burn pits were. They've known it for years. And then all of a sudden, like years after the fact, a decade after the fact, they're all, oh yeah, we got something done. Go fuck yourselves. No, they didn't. It took them over a decade. And they fought that shit. All because the more people die up front, the less they have to pay on the back end. Same thing with PTSD. They do the same thing with that same shit. Run them down a fucking rabbit hole, make it difficult for them to get treatment, do all this shit, make it a problem. And eventually what happens is a bunch of people air their fucking heads out, and you don't have as big a patient pool down the road. It's the whole fucking corporate game. It's built into it.
Sure would be nice if you had politicians that actually gave a shit about the American citizens. Those days are past, sure seems like. Nowadays, you'll shut up and do what you're told. Or Dark Brandon's coming after you, or Dark, the puppet master of Dark Brandon. It's going to be like Weekend at Bernie's Dark Brandon coming after you.
Fucking Sith Lord.
Yeah. Emperor Palpatine. That's what he's going to look like pretty soon. He's going to go from the perverted dude from Family Guy. I can't remember what his Merv the Perv to Emperor Palpatine, or maybe a combination of the two. That'd be interesting.
Entered Emperor Dopatine.
Yeah. All right, that's it for this week. I thank everyone. I appreciate you all joining in. We are going to be doing the after show. We're going to have Lisa on, talk about some medical stuff. Brian knows a lot about medical stuff. Lisa's an RN. I am basically along for the ride. I've learned quite a bit from these two and Kevin and all sorts of people, so I'm not quite as dumb as I make myself out to be, but I'm not near the level of these two. But it should be a fun conversation. Like I said, Misreading the River had some stuff about pain meds and all that, so we're going to talk about that. Again, everyone in the chat, appreciate you all being here tonight. Saw a lot of new names as well. So if you are new, make sure you are subscribed. Hit the like button, all of that stuff. If you're listening to the podcast, leave a review. Same crap we say every week. But with that, everyone, unless you have anything, Brian, I think we're out of here.
No, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday.
All right, take care and prepare, everyone. We'll talk to you all later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.